Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. The festival of Pentecost is not made much of by the world, certainly. Unfortunately, it's also not made much of by us at times, it seems. Pentecost is one of the three great festivals of the church, equivalent and equal in importance historically to Christmas and to Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. And then we come to Pentecost. Very, very important to us Christians, and we should keep it in high regard because, for one reason, Jesus made much of the sending of the Holy Spirit. You see, in John, the chapters of John that we've been reading recently, you have seen this. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a big deal for you. Jesus made a big deal out of the Holy Spirit. We too live now in a time that has come after. Just like Joel said, after these things. Joel was talking about something specific that I'll get into late in a minute. But Jesus had said, after I leave this earth from your sight, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. We Christians are blessed to live in the time that comes after these things. After Jesus was on the earth, after he preached and suffered and died and was raised to life. We live after all these things, but we get blessings because of the sending of the Holy Spirit. We are not missing anything. We are not, we have not missed the boat or anything like that. We get wonderful things because of this. First wonderful gift we receive is all of us together, all flesh receives gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel says, and this is what the text that Peter begins to preach on. After Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, he says, all these things that they saw, these signs of fire and the wind blowing and the speaking in other languages fluently without having learned it, Peter says, this is all exactly what Joel said was going to happen. Joel says, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the servants, both male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show warning signs in the heavens and on the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit had been around, obviously, in the Old Testament. We see the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters before creation begins. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit resting on someone, this happens too, but only very occasionally. Only sometimes and for a little while do we see God send the Holy Spirit onto certain people. And if you count up how often the Holy Spirit goes on to someone to empower them, it's about maybe between 20 and 30 times if you search it up. And some of those times are multiple groups of people. You know, it's maybe a whole crowd of people gets the Holy Spirit to do something specific. The gift of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, it rushes on to men like Gideon, who was a judge in Israel when there was no king in the land, when the people were under the oppression of hostile foreign enemies. God sends the Holy Spirit to empower Gideon to fight and defeat and to deliver from this enemy, the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit rushes onto Gideon so that he can win a battle. We see how the Holy Spirit gave miraculous strength to Samson at different times and not forever, whenever he submitted to having his hair cut, and this Holy Spirit left him because of his unfaithfulness to the promises that he had made. That he had been laid on the oaths that he had taken. But at the end of his life, the Holy Spirit once again comes back to strengthen Samson so that he could deliver the people of Israel one more time. The Holy Spirit occasionally gave wonderful strength and ability and passion to men to lead the people of Israel to victory and to salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to people who speak the words of God, to prophesy and to proclaim what God has to say to people. The Holy Spirit comes to them. It came to Saul when Samuel had anointed him to be king over Israel. Samuel said, just wait until the Spirit comes to you so you can prophesy. Even Saul did this thing. The Holy Spirit spoke through David as well. You don't think of David being a prophet, but he spoke through the Holy Spirit as well. And he says in his last words, he said, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. To me, the Rock of Israel has said, the one who rules over people with righteousness rules in the fear of God. He's like the light of the morning when the sun rises. And he goes on and he writes many songs as well through this power of the Holy Spirit resting on him. And other prophets as well, in the same way, were given visions and things to say to people by the power of the Holy Spirit for a little while. Finally, Jesus, we see, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit when he is baptized. The Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove and rests on Jesus and empowers and enables him to carry out his teaching and preaching ministry and to ultimately strengthen him for his death on the cross. These are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit we see in the Old Testament. And Joel says something radically different from what it had been before. He says, God says through Joel, after these things, after all of this has happened, as Peter said, this is fulfilled now after Jesus comes, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a full way, in a way that the people in the Old Testament did not always get to experience. Think of what Joel says about prophesying and dreaming dreams and visions. Now, there's one important difference, we should say. The gift of the Holy Spirit that's really important that the Old Testament people always had was faith in God, trust in the promises that God had made to people. That gift was always there, that saving faith. But now in the New Testament era, after all of these things have been fulfilled, we get to say, yes, I can know God because he has revealed himself to me in Scripture. We get to proclaim the words of God because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all of us as well. When Joel says about prophecy and dreams and visions, these are the ways that people, especially in the Old Testament, were able to know God. God would reveal himself to people through these visions and dreams. This is not necessarily saying that you can expect that your dreams are prophetic dreams, or that God speaks to you directly through dreams, but all Christians, because we have received the Holy Spirit and it's been poured out on us, we get to know God. We get to understand what God has to say to us. God reveals himself through the word of God. We can understand what God says to us because we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You do not need to have someone tell you what God says in his word, who is special or unique or different in any way. You don't need to have a degree to understand the word of God, for example, or you don't need to have an authoritative teacher to be able to see, here's what God's word is saying to me, and the Holy Spirit is what you really need to understand and to interpret God's words to you and to the world. That's one really important change that we have in the after times. There's other gifts of the Holy Spirit that we see evident in the New Testament as well. Now, on Pentecost, there were some miraculous signs that these things seem to have been temporary. So the apostles were speaking in languages they had not learned. We see also the apostles doing miracles of healing and things like that, that were for the sake of building up the church for a little while. These are not the things that we expect to see in our experience as Christians. Nevertheless, we have the Holy Spirit's gifts in other ways as well. We have the gift of prophesying. We understand that prophesying for us is not just telling the future. We don't know what God has in store for us apart from what he has revealed to us. But we see how the gift of prophecy, Paul explains what this means. He says, The person who prophesies speaks to people things that edify, encourage, and comfort. He's talking about the difference between prophecy and the gift of tongues. He says, the one who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but I would prefer that you prophesy. For the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. Part of our gift as we have received the Holy Spirit is we are able to encourage and build one another up in the proclamation of God's word to each other. All the Old Testament prophets had to do this too. They gave encouraging words when that was needed. They gave words of warning against unfaithfulness and sin when that was needed. All of this came through, in the Old Testament, a few select people. Comes to you now through your fellow Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, because Jesus has promised that he would pour out his Spirit on all of you. The Holy Spirit has many other powerful gifts that we receive, and if I went through and listed all of them, it would be here all day, but a few other important ones that are very relevant to us. For example, also in 1 Corinthians, Paul says something very kind of important. He's giving instruction about marriage, about everyday life. He says in the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, but she is more blessed if she stays as she is in my judgment. And I think that I too have God's Spirit. Now, of course, we know that Paul speaks as an inspired writer of Scripture. And so, yes, he does have God's Spirit in a very particular way. But when it comes to judging matters of the world, how we go through our lives, there are things that require judgment to decide what is right and wrong, or what is the most wise path forward. There are things that maybe there are two good things in your life you have to choose, for example. That happens all the time to people. Am I going to do this job or that job? Both good things. The Holy Spirit that you have received is the Spirit of wisdom and of knowledge and of understanding and discernment. This is also a really important comfort that we have, to see that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you to be able to say, yeah, I can judge what's right and wrong because I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I spoke about the importance of prophesying and proclaiming God's word. You too have the ability to proclaim the good news about Jesus, just like the apostles did, and they spoke about Jesus, and to evangelize and to convert. The Holy Spirit works through you in that area of your life as well. When it comes to wisdom and knowledge and understanding about theology or about everyday life, we are comforted by the knowledge that we have the Holy Spirit working in us. We also understand that this is all under what God has revealed to us. Of course, when we go with our gut, for example, there's an argument to be had that that's a good thing for Christians to do, but tempered by our knowledge of the Scriptures, of course, because this is how the Holy Spirit works on us today. Joel goes on and he proclaims another important blessing that we have because of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will show warning signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terrifying day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has promised among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now you'll notice if you read the Old Testament prophets that a lot of times they compress by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the coming of Jesus, his first coming and his second coming. They're seeing it all kind of as one big thing. And we're living right in the middle of those two comings of Jesus, the first and the second. But Joel's seeing one. And so he's pointing us ahead to the last judgment when Jesus comes again in glory as well. This is too is important on Pentecost to know that we are living in between as well. We are living, looking forward to the last day. And he says it's going to be frightening at times. It's going to be signs in the heavens, smoke and fire and blood. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. These are not comforting and hopeful types of signs. Some of the signs that Joel speaks to have been fulfilled. Jesus, when he was on the cross, the sun was darkened for those hours when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Some of these signs are going on all the time. Smoke and fire, these are signs of conflict and war and violence. We know that these things are going to be going on until Jesus comes again. And they're going on right now, and they've gone on before as well. Some of these things have not happened yet. Maybe you could point to when he says the moon will be turned to blood, what exactly that looks like. If he means it, like literally, visually, this maybe hasn't happened yet, as so often is the case for these prophecies. Whatever Joel is speaking about specifically, we understand that we are going to be seeing these signs, especially the signs of conflict. Just as Jesus said, these are signs of the end times that are ongoing all the time. It's a sign of that could bring to us terror and fear and all kinds of other negative things. But what comfort do we get from Joel and from the promise of the Holy Spirit? He says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the most important and central gift of the Holy Spirit that we have, which is the ability to call on the name of Jesus for salvation. It is only by the Holy Spirit's gifts and his powers that Jesus had promised that we too get to call on the name of Jesus and to be saved from temporal distress at times, but most importantly, to be saved from the final judgment, to be saved from eternal destruction because of the sins that we have in us and that we've committed. This is what we would deserve. But Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort and encourage us. We live in frightening times in various ways, maybe in the world or in your own life, wherever you see these types of things going on. But you have received the Holy Spirit. He has been poured out on you to strengthen you, to bring you into the salvation that Jesus has earned and deserved. And so we celebrate Pentecost, being blessed to live in these times, to be blessed to see the signs that God had promised to send, and to know that they are not signs of fear for us Christians, but signs of hope and of comfort because you call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Amen. Please stand.